Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Namaste. प्रतिदेव गौरवं प्रचारिणे मुखेशाशूनवादी पश्चादशतारिणे
जय गोपी जनवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी
Narayana Yashodanandana Bhajajana Ranjana 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 Yamuna Tira Vanashari Yamuna Tira Vanashari Yamuna Tira Vanashari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama,
Krishna Yadavaya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Hariya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Madhavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Madhavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Hariya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Hariya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Gopala Govinda Rama Madhusudana Gopala Govinda Rama Madhusudana Hari Govinda Namana Moha Hari Govinda Namana Moha Govinda Govinda Namana Moha Hari Govinda Namana Moha Hariya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Hariya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Gopala Govinda Rama Madhusudana Gopala Govinda Rama Madhusudana Gopala Govinda Rama Hari Govinda Namana Namaha Hari Govinda Namana Namaha Thank you. പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహాశీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, రామాచార్య శరహరదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి, మధురపురి ధామ్ కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమైంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Budhaleshwari Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswadevam Gauravani Prajayane Nirvisheshunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarine. ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఘయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాన్నియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోవేష గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుస్తుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వంచకల్పదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితం భగవదం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితం పురాణమునినం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధానామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయ దవర్త్రనేత్రం యేన త్వయా భారత తైల పూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా. ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవ సుతం దేవం కంసచాళూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జయద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథ జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామామి కర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ. పారాశర్య వజస్వరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రేవీయమానం ముదా ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ വേദായ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതിരാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, in the 13th chapter, which is Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga, that is how it is titled, Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga, Krishna talks about the distinction between Prakriti and Purusha. In other words, Arjuna asked these three questions. What were they? Prakritim Purusham Jaiva Kshetram Kshetratyam Evaja. ഏതദ് വേദിത് വിച്ഛാമി ജ്ഞാനം ഏയം ച കേശവ. ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഫ്രം അർജുന. പ്രകൃതി ആൻഡ് പുരുഷ വൺ, ദെൻ ക്ഷേത്രം ആൻഡ് ക്ഷേത്രജ്ഞൻ ടു, ജ്ഞാനം ആൻഡ് ഏയം ത്രീ. സോ ദീസ് ത്രീ തിങ്സ്, ദാറ്റ് വാസ് വാട്ട് അർജുന ഹാസ് റേസ്ഡ്. സോ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ആൻസേർഡ് ദാറ്റ്, ആൻഡ് നൗ വി ആർ കമ്മിങ് ടു ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ, വേർ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് നൗ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദി അട്രിബ്യൂട്ട്സ് ഓഫ് പുരുഷ. That's what he is saying, the attributes of Purusha. And how to differentiate between Purusha and Prakriti. Those things Krishna has spoken so far in the last few verses. So we were in the middle of that when we stopped last Sunday. So let's look at that again. If you remember, in the verse finishing 25, which was Dhyanena Altmani Pashyandi Kejid Altmanam Altmanam Anye Sankhena Yogena Karma Yogena Chapare. So Krishna says there, after talking about the super soul and the individual soul situated within one's body, Krishna says there that dhyanen alpani pashyanti kejid almanam almanam, that in this way Krishna says that personalities through their dhyanam or meditation process, they see the super soul. Dhyanen alpani pashyanti kejid almanam almanam. Then some other people, anye sanghena yogena, other people by sanghya yogam or the process of analytical process, anye sanghena yogena karma yogena chapare, other people, some others with karma yogam. So three things are mentioned there: dhyana yogam, sanghya yogam, and karma yogam. And in the next verse Krishna says to Arjuna that shruti parayana, only those to whom anyetyo majanandam shrutvanebhya upasade tebhi jadi tarandeva mrityam shrutiparayanaha. Others who are shrutiparayanas, who are fond of listening from the shastram, they listen to it and follow this, and they also escape from the cycle of birth and death. That's what in that verse Krishna says. So in the previous verse Krishna said that dhyana yogam, sanghya yogam, and karma yogam. Now these three yoga system, dhyanam, sanghyam, and karmam, they require three different capacity, three different abilities in a person. Dhyana yogam depends on the mind. Or in other words, one who has got a lot of strength in mind, who has got a great capacity or great strength of mind, he can practice dhyana yogam. Because what is dhyana yoga means? Basically it is a mind that is absorbed in dhyanam, isn't it? In order that you can pull out all the unnecessary vikshevam. Vikshevam means the two things we have, vikshevam and avaranam, isn't it? That's what generally the mind is. Mind is made of two elements, vikshevam and avaranam. That's what it is constantly creating, this mind inside. Out of that, the vikshevam is coming from rajogunam and avaranam is coming from tamogunam. The nature of tamogunam on the mind influences, these are the same words but used in different instances with different meanings. But
sickly, it refers to one and one thing only, that is tamogunam. When it covers the mind, it's called avaranam. It's a coverage of the mind. Similarly, when rajogunam covers the mind, it's called vikshepam. So in the Shastric language, when they are talking about the mind, they will say vikshepam and avaranam. They won't say rajogunam and tamogunam. So out of these two, rajogunam and tamogunam, which is vikshepam and avaranam, vikshepam is the most difficult one, because from tamogunam, somehow or the other, you can control it with culture of sattvagunam. You can control that. But vikshepam is a thing which is very difficult to control. Constantly you will see some people are constantly disturbed in their mind. Why? Because there is so much vikshepam is inside. It is filled in with vikshepam. So in order to counteract that vikshepam, the normal procedure is that one takes the shelter of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. That it is very difficult to check the mind. Arjuna has said that in the beginning, isn't it? Arjuna himself said that it is not possible for me to control the mind. So because it is, Krishna knows very well that how difficult it is. Therefore in the Vedanta Shastram, in the Vedic philosophy, certain topics are taken out separately and explained in detail, so that by reading them and studying them on a daily basis, one can control this mind, control this what is called vikshepam. And that is why everything is what is called as a prakaranam in the Shastram. For example, this 13th chapter itself is a prakaranam. That means if you read this chapter regularly, say every day on a regular basis, this chapter will take away that vikshepam from inside. It has got that ability to do that. So similarly, there are other topics also in the Bhagavatam. For example, in the Ekadasha Skandam, there is Hamsa Gitam, Aila Gitam, Dattatreya Gitam, Bhikshu Gitam. There are four different topics discussed there. They are all called different prakaranas. Prakaranam is the word that is normally used. So if you take any of these prakaranam and you constantly reflect it in your own mind and go through it in detail as best as one can, automatically you will be pulled out of this thing called vikshepam in the mind. So many vikshepams comes in every day, and sometimes it becomes so difficult that people cannot even take a book and read it. It comes to that stage. When the vikshepam increases in the mind, then they will find it very hard even to read a book or to talk about reflecting on it. And even if they start reading, because of the constant flow of these vikshepam that is coming from the rajogunam, that will counteract against your desire to study it scrutinizingly. So here, Krishna, this Jnana Yogam requires the strength of mind. Similarly, what does Sankhya Yogam requires? Because Krishna says there are three things: Jnana Yogam, Sankhya Yogam, and Karma Yogam. Sankhya Yogam requires a powerful intelligence, Buddhi Shakti. Buddhi is the source behind the Jnana Yogam. For Sankhya or Jnanam, what requires is a very powerful intellect. Powerful intellect is required. So for Sankhyam, intellect is required. For Jnanam, a concentration of mind, or able to control the mind without allowing the mind to be interfered by other thoughts or other influences. That is one important thing. And then the last one is Karma Yogam. Krishna has talked about. What does Karma Yogam require? Karma Yogam requires Nishta. Nishta means Karma Nishta. Karma Nishta means to be situated in that spiritual consciousness and able to execute the duties without being affected by the results of that work. That is Karma Yogam. So that Nishta is what is necessary in Karma Yogam. In other words, when one engages in Karma Yogam, the results that is coming from there, if you remember the four sutras, Karma Sutras they are called in the Bhagavad Gita, the Chadra Sutram, they are called. Karmani Vadhigaraste Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana Ma Karma Bhalahedumbur Mado Sangos Tagarmani. So those four things, if one can remember, not being infected by the results of the karma, not being affected by the thought that he is the doer, and in that kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, two things. If one can stay away from that and still execute the karma, that is called nishta. So karma nishta, jnana nishta, and also mind, absorption of the mind these three things are the basics on which these three yoga systems work: dhyanam, sanghyam, and karma. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday. So after that, Krishna mentioned about the what is known as Yavil Sanjayade Sam Kinjal Satvam Savara Jangamam. Kshetra Kshetraja Samyogal Tadvidi Bharadashava. Krishna says to Arjuna, then everything Savaram and Jangamam has happened in this creation only from one thing, due to the interaction of the Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Kshetra Kshetraja Samyogal, Krishna says, from Vidhi Bharadashava. It is a result of that. So everything is coming from that. And then in the next two verses, Krishna has spoken something very important thing. What are they? First one, Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram Vinashyalsa Avinashyandam Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. So, these two verses, this verse and the next verse, talks about something very important in the sense, Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram. When one sees Krishna's presence, the Super Soul, present in every living entity equally, and realizes that the Super Soul is not destroyed, or the soul, individual soul, is not destroyed, avinashyalsandu vinashyalsa avinashyandam yapashyadi sapashyadi. Krishna says he is seeing things properly. First thing is, samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. This Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in every living entity as Super Soul, along with the individual soul, is situated equally in every living entity. This is a very important thing. Is situated equally in every living entity. Why it is important? If you look at this one verse and look at this world, you can observe a lot of things. Because samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram, Krishna says, all living entities, Krishna is situated within them as Parameshwara, Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a Super Soul there. And then the individual soul is with Krishna there, present in the body. Individual soul and the Super Soul, both are present in the material body. Every one of us, every living entity, not only human society, in every living entity. And it is the spirit that is keeping this whole system functioning, isn't it? Whole creation is functioning because of that. So, samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalsu avinashyandam. Even though this material body is what we have come, what we have got, have come from where? It has come from the material nature, isn't it? It has come from the material nature. And we have all got different types of bodies. Why do we have different types of bodies? Because of our different karma. Different karma has caused different kinds of bodies. A material nature duty is to supply us that body according to our karma. Sometimes as men, sometimes as women, sometimes as animals, sometimes as birds, beasts, in different dresses. We have all got these different things, different bodies. But Krishna is saying here, in all these different bodies, the one thing that is common to all is that Parameshwaram. Krishna is present there as a Super Soul, and the individual soul is along with him in that particular body. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyal savinashyandam yapashyadi sapashyadi. Krishna says one who sees that, he is seeing things properly. He is seeing things properly. So when this realization has not happened to people, when one has not accepted that properly, what can happen is our adhyasam with the body will increase. In other words, the spiritual side of our identity is separated from us. Krishna is showing through this chapter to discriminate, to get that discrimination clearly in our head. Body is different, soul is different. Although you will find in Bhagavad Gita, the same topic is repeated again and again. That is the Vedic way of doing things. So that it gets fixed up in our mind. We may, intellectual level, we may accept certain things, but it's not happening in our consciousness. Why is that? Because it has not sunk in inside the consciousness. Therefore, it is repeated, but it's spoken from different ways in this way. For example, Krishna is saying here that this understanding has to come, this differentiation or this position of the soul and the body separately. So, if that happens, then naturally the identification with the body will come down. That is the immediate result of that. Once we recognizes the difference between the body and the soul, then naturally this identification with the body will come down. And with the result that at the time of death, one will not lament about the body so much. One will not lament about the body so much. And that is why in the Vedic tradition, no matter who follows it, always the body is burned after death. Because this distinction is very strongly supported by the philosophically very strongly supported. That after the soul leaves the body, body has no importance, body has no value anymore. And therefore, because the body was only functioning due to the presence of the soul. But on some other systems of philosophy, you will find that even after death, they want to somehow maintain the body. Even though there is no life in there, they still want to maintain the body. Why these thoughts are coming? Why? Because throughout life, identification with the body was so strong that they are able to give it up even at the time of death. Even at the time of death, they are finding it difficult to give it up. So the result of that is they want to retain the body some form or the other and preserve it, or and otherwise they find it very hard that they could get out of this, they can throw away this body and burn it, or burn into ashes. They find that very, very difficult. In many religions it is like that. And this is because of this adhyasam. In Shastram they call it as adhyasam. Adhyasam means, if throughout life, if you identify with the body, if throughout the life, if you identify with the body, and then engage in religious life, but at the same time, if not accepting this principle that the soul and the body are totally different, the soul is the real identity of the individual and not the body. When that is not gone in deep enough, then that adhyasam of training, identifying with the body, will continue to exist even after death. And that will result in the form of preserving the body further in some form or the other. That is the way it happens. So, the samam pasyant sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Krishna is reminding us that he is situated as paramatma, super soul, within all of us. And when he moves out from here, along with us, the individual soul, then this body has no value at all after that. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Then, vinashyalsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. Why Krishna is making it so clear to us? He says that even when the body is dying, which is of different kinds of bodies, even when that body is dying, this super soul and the individual soul doesn't die. Super soul and the individual soul doesn't die. And one who sees this in everyone, he says, yapashyati sapashyati. He is seeing the things properly. So from Krishna's point of view, and from the very point of view basically, that the body and the soul are two separate things. Due to the association of the soul and the body, and with the ignorance what we have started this identification with the body so long, in so many lifetimes with different bodies, and still that disease has not gone from us. And we still tend to identify with this body, and continue to make sure that, so many examples in the Shastram to get us out of this concept. They explain this in different ways. All Upanishads speaks the same topic in many, many different ways. Somehow or the other, to get us out of this, understanding that I am this body. Because although we are not saying Aham Brahmasmi, silently we are always saying I am this body within us. Because that's where our activities are whole day, isn't it? So when that activity becomes very strong, day after day, it is very hard to break away from that, because this is why it is called adhyasam. Adhyasam means that deep knowledge that has gone in the wrong way, identification with the body. So Krishna is saying that here, samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Vinashyandam yapashyari sapashyari. Krishna says he is the person who is seeing that. And in relationship with that, we talked about Socrates, how Socrates was a personality who has gone beyond this body. When he was asked to, when the judge gave the decision to poison him, and he was going to be poisoned, before that, they told him about his punishment. So what was his reply to them? He replied to the judge. He said, "You can poison me if you can catch me, first of all. You can't even catch me. What is the point in talking about all this?" he said to the judge. He was so clear in his head that he was not this body. That realization was so deeply in him that he was able to reply like this, that only if you can catch me, you can punish me, he said. And to these friends who wanted to cremate him after that, whatever you do with my body, he said, it's none of my concern. That was his answer to them. So to the judge he said, if you can catch me, you can punish me, he said. And to the followers he said, if you can catch me, and you can burn me, but you cannot get me, he said, either way. So that is so clear in his head. This is, that verse is talking about that. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtadam parameshwaram vinashyal savinashyandam yapashyari sapashyari. That is what he is saying. Krishna is saying like that. But what has happened to most of us is that we have not practiced this in life, how to see things in this perspective. Most of the time, our mind has accepted what is Shastram calls as the as a Vikshepam, as it is referred to, accepting the objects of this world as truth, isn't it? Objects of this world as truth. Many of the things are truth for us. We accept so many things. Every living entity, as we see in the bodily form, or different material objects, we accept all of that as truth. But the unknown things, we do not even think about it, we do not recognize it either. The result of that is that continuously what is called the vichebam builds up. And when there is a constant flow of vichebam inside the chittam, if you remember, the chittam is the four things in the subtle body. What are they? Mind, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. These are the four things. If you read, if you want to know this in detail, it's in the third canto of Bhagavatam. If you read through that, Kapila Vasudev explaining to Devahuti Devi, there it's a very detailed explanation of these four elements of the subtle body. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. So, and the four Chaturvyuham, what's it called as Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, they are the four predominating deities of these four different aspects of the subtle body. So here, this chittam is where all the vichevams keeps coming. And vichevam comes from two sides. One from the previous lives, what we have brought with us, and one from the interaction of the modes of nature here. So all these things, there is a constant interaction of these things inside our subtle body, inside our chittam, and that chittam is constantly getting unable to focus on anything related to spiritual identity. It cannot get it, because we haven't got much of that thoughts in our behind. Great jnanis, for example, they cultivate this in such a way that after a few lifetimes we will see, they quickly click that into their head. They don't have so much difficulty in getting this into their head. Because it has come from their purva vasanas, or from the previous lives it has followed them. It follows them from the previous lifetimes. So that's why Krishna is saying that this knowledge is to be cultivated all the time. Even if in this lifetime we did not go back to the spiritual world, even if we do not gain anything else, at least this knowledge will follow us. This is the beauty of this Bhagavad Gita. That whatever we have understood from Bhagavad Gita and whatever we have accepted deeply in our mind, those things will stay in the chittam, and that will follow in our subtle body even in the next life, and next life will be a lot easier than this life. All this struggle what we are putting through in this lifetime, at least that will come down a lot in the next lifetime. So bhakti is a process from where everything comes. That through devotion, Krishna says, that is why one has to constantly pray to Krishna to give devotion. Through that devotion, one develops the renunciation and knowledge. All this Shastram, what Shastra is talking about, all this knowledge won't automatically happen inside, unless there is, Krishna wants that to happen. And this is the reason why devotion is important, paramount to everything. Through devotion, and when the devotion means what? Satugunam. When Satugunam builds up, devotion builds up. When devotion builds up, automatically this pure knowledge will also develop in the heart. So that is how, in the Kapila Vasudeva instructions to Devahuti Devi, you will find three things are simultaneously flowing there. If you read the chapters between 25 to 33, in the third canto, you will know Kapila Vasudeva's beautiful exposition of the philosophy. It is not much different than what Krishna spoke to Uddhava later on in the 11th canto. More or less, it's the same thing. In fact, Bhakti Yoga process has been given such an important process in the third canto. And Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, without the help of Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam will not stay strong. Will not stay strong and they will not develop properly. So Bhakti is the engine behind it. And it is this Bhakti what has to develop, what has to come from Krishna. Krishna has to offer that to us. Because Krishna's, without Krishna's help, it is not going to happen. No matter how much hard we try, it is Krishna's mercy at the end that decides how much devotion one should have. How much devotion one should have. Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to that when Uddhava heard instructions from Krishna in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna decided that, Uddhava said to Krishna, that if you give me this understanding to understand what you are saying. In other words, without Krishna's kindness, I cannot understand it. So as much as you are talking to me, you must also decide how much I should understand from what you are saying. You see? That is how it is. All the Vedanta philosophy is like that. Because some of these things, you can study it whole lifetime. But at the end, it will be like a atonement, you know, just to get out of the sinful life. I have heard Bhagavatam so many times. What was the use of that? If the knowledge is not manifesting in us, if what we are reading in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if that is not changing us, and that is not giving us that strength or impetus to go in the spiritual life further, otherwise then that study has not benefited us, is there? Though it is only benefiting us if it is giving us that drive to go further and further in the spiritual life. So that process, that is coming from Krishna's side. Krishna has to offer that to us. That's why Uddhava put this condition in the beginning itself to Krishna. That whatever you are speaking, going to talk to me now, only if you decide that how much you want me to understand that and give me that understanding, then I can go further from here. Otherwise it is not possible. And that is the same situation with all of us. It's not only with Uddhava, it is with all of us. It's the same situation. That is why no point in studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, reading a lot and studying it analytically. That is good enough. But at the same time, in order that that knowledge comes to us, we have to constantly beg to Krishna, asking for that mercy to give us that understanding. Whatever He has spoken, whether it is Kapila Vasudev to Devahuti Devi, or Krishna to Uddhava, or Krishna to Arjuna, whatever it is, this knowledge in the Shastram, in order that it has to change us, Krishna's mercy and Krishna's kindness is necessary. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyal savinashyandam yabashyadi sabashyadi. That if one has absorbed these words properly, naturally the realization will be that I do not die. That is what Krishna is saying. One does not die. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, I mentioned this before, that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to so many sages who were present in the assembly of the Sukadeva Goswami in Parikshit. When Sukadeva Goswami is talking to Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many great personalities were present there. But in the end, in the 12th canto, you will find Sukadeva Goswami talks about that. That the last minute when Sukadeva Goswami was walking out from the scene, Sukadeva Goswami, being a fully realized soul, was able to sense at what stage Parikshit was. So right at that moment, at the 5th chapter of the 12th canto, you will see Sukadeva Goswami was mentioning to Parikshit, what is the situation now? That was his question. What is now your situation? He was asking to Parikshit. You can read that. It's a very small chapter in the 12th canto. There's almost 13 verses in that. In there, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, what is your situation now? And in answer to that, the answer is more interesting than the question. Sukadeva Goswami wanted to know from Parikshit, what stage are you now? Because you have come here with the fear of death, isn't it? He started hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, fearing that in the seventh day from now, he has to leave the body. He has to leave the body. That was the thought in his mind. But now, what has happened? This was, Sukadeva Goswami was so expert at these things, because after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and knowing the potency of Bhagavatam, nobody else could speak like this. Only Sujay Goswami could ask that question. So his question was, what stage, where are you now? We came here 7 days ago when we started Bhagavadam. Parishit was saying that 7 days from now I have to leave my body. This was the thoughts going through his mind. But now on the seventh day morning, when Parishit, Sudev Goswami asked this question to Parishit, that what is your state of consciousness, in other words. And the answer to that, if you look at the Bhagavadam, you will find that I am not fearing death anymore. We must be able to say this like Parishit has said to Sudev Goswami. That is the beauty of that Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was able to say like this, Pashubuddhi, that is what it is called. Pashubuddhi means to think like an animal. The fear of death is considered to be a quality of an animal, not for the human society. Although human society makes the most extravagant arrangements to escape from death. You see that? The animals are not frightened of death as much as we are. In fact, we are more frightened of the death. On the other hand, it is called Pashubuddhi. This fear of death is called Pashubuddhi, because one who has not developed Krishna consciousness, then from the Shastri point of view, he is no better than an animal. That's what it is. That's why it is called Pashubuddhi. So there, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, now is it clear to you? Give up this Pashubuddhi, he says. Pashubuddhi, give up this Pashubuddhi, and now you can go back, and he walked out from there. So that is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam this says. When you think all these things, you can see the potency of Krishna's words. How everything was followed by these great personalities in letter and spirit. In letter and spirit. They had absorbed it so well. In the next verse you will find, Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram nahinasti almanalmanam tatoyadi param gadim. This is another important verse. Krishna says in the last verse, Samam Sarvesha Bhuteshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram. That is the last verse. In this verse, Krishna says, Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra Samavastidam Ishwaram. This is interesting. Samavastidam Ishwaram means, Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra. We have to see Krishna's presence in every living entity as the super soul. And in what level? Samavastidam Ishwaram. Equally. Whether it is in a mosquito or whether it is in an elephant, Krishna is present there equally. What we are observing with our eyes is another thing. But what Shastra is saying is something different. Krishna is present in the mosquito, Krishna is present in the elephant also. Equally, it says. Equally. In other words, all what is required for maintaining that body is looked after by Krishna's arrangement. That is the beauty of that. A mosquito requires certain facilities, isn't it? Certain facilities. Mosquito requires certain capacity to do certain things. It has to fly, unlike the elephant. Whereas the elephant has got a lot of bodily strength. But in all these conditions, Krishna is saying there that you should know, as a living, as a soul, as a human being, one should observe that my presence is equal in everything. We shouldn't compare these two and think that there is more Krishna present in the elephant, less Krishna in the mosquito. It is not like that. Krishna is equally present in everything, every living entity. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram nahinasti almana almanam tatoyadi param gadim. Now, there is one more thing in addition to that. In the next line, Krishna is saying, nahinasti almana almanam, that those who cultivate this viewpoint, what he has mentioned here, samavastidam ishwaram, they have to take care, mahinasti alpana alpanam, that means they should not allow other things to come and cover their soul. Mahinasti alpana alpanam, tadoyadi parangarim, Krishna says like that. What does that mean? It means that in this process, if we develop these two things, which was mentioned in the last verse and this verse, Samam Pashyandi Sarvatra Tishtandi Parameshwaram. That was the last verse. And in this verse, Krishna says, Samam Pashyandi Sarvatra Samavastidam Ishwaram. If we develop these two qualities, Krishna says, what will happen is, the result of will be, Mahinasti Atman Almanam, that this Vikshepam that is covering the soul, that is, which is covering, which is actually nothing but a strong shield to cover the soul. Soul's true nature is knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is the nature of the soul. Eternity, blissful and knowledge, that is the nature of the soul. Now, that coverage of ignorance, which is in other words the opposite of knowledge, the coverage of ignorance will increase if we do not cultivate these two verses. This is what Krishna is saying. If we do not cultivate these two verses, what will happen is, in due course, that coverage will become thicker and thicker. In other words, it will cover the soul to such an extent that we will automatically fall down into materialistic life. Materialistic life. That's what will happen. So there is a strong warning in that verse. Some people, for example, when they don't cultivate this, you can observe them also very easily, how their mind works. They'll be very nice in the, say, when they come to the temple or to an ashram or something. When they see you outside, they will completely ignore you. They'll completely reject you. In other words, so in the temple I'll meet him, I'll keep the relationship there, I don't want to see. That is not, this verse is not saying like that. Krishna consciousness is not only for the temple, or it's not only with the devotees. Krishna consciousness is with every living entity. Otherwise it's not Krishna consciousness. Proper Krishna consciousness says that he is not able to, one is able to see these things, what Krishna is explaining there, in all relationships. Otherwise it's not so. You see, samam pashyanti sarvatra tishtanti parameshwaram, samam sarveshu bhutesh, samam pashyanti sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram. So if these things are not happened, Krishna says, what will happen is, mahinasti alpana alpanam, that alpanam, one is mind and alpana the soul, the mind will become thicker. In other words, it will become so difficult to break through that ignorance that is enveloping the soul, enveloping the soul. In other words, that blissful consciousness will not manifest in a person. The blissful consciousness will not manifest in a person. So, one thing to understand is that in all circumstances, under all conditions, all times, Krishna is always present there equally in everything. This is the realization from that. All times, under all conditions, in all circumstances, Krishna is present there in equally in every situations. Otherwise, Krishna calls those people who do not cultivate this as the people who commit suicide. Now, normally in the material world, whom we say, oh, he has committed suicide by drinking poison, or hanging himself, or jumping in front of the train, or drowning himself, he has committed suicide like that. Krishna doesn't call them a suicide at all. As Krishna's suicide is concerned, this is what Krishna calls a suicide. One who turns his back to the soul, he is committing the suicide. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has been very, very, Krishna has taken up this point very strongly with Uddhava while talking about this. That one who turns his back to the soul, he is the one who committing suicide, Krishna says. Not the one who jumps in for other things, who what we in the material world we say, oh, he committed suicide, or he did this or did that, and so many things we say. But that is in reference to the body, isn't it? But Krishna's definition of suicide is far more genuine and far more meaningful than this suicide. This suicide is not such a serious thing, because even if you leave this body, there's another body available, and sometime you'll get it. But Krishna is saying, after getting this human body, human form of life, if one has not used it to realize the self, then he has committed suicide. That is Krishna's definition of suicide. Mrudeha madhyam sulabham sudhurlabham plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena nabaswaderidam puman bhavadim nataret sa almaha. Krishna call him Almaha. Almaha means killer of the soul. That is the word Krishna has used. Nrdeha madhyam sulabham sudhurlabham. Material human form of life is very, very rare thing. Sudhurlabham. And it is, one has got it somehow or the other, that human body. Nrdeha madhyam sulabham sudhurlabham. Then in addition to that, plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam. Then he is trying, with this body is considered to be like a boat, to cross the sea. What sea? The ocean of material existence, material life. Don't want to come back to this material world again. So there is that ocean in front of us, which is called the material existence. Samsaram, as it, we talked about that before. So in order to cross that ocean, Krishna has given us this boat, called this material body. So after giving this body, what else Krishna has done? Plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam. This is like a, this plavam, this boat, is sugalpam, and in addition to that, Krishna has also given what is known as Guru Karnadharam, a spiritual master who has taken him out of this ignorance and brought him to spiritual life. In other words, instructed him to come to spiritual understanding of life. So Krishna has arranged everything for us. He has given us this material body. And then he has given us the spiritual, he himself comes as the spiritual master. That is how one has to see the spiritual master. Plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam. Then, maya anukulena nabhasvate ridam puman bhavabdim natarel saalmaha. And one, when one enters into this boat, and when one starts rowing this boat with this human body, Krishna says, maya anukulena nabhasvate ridam. I immediately start blowing the wind which will be very favorable to him to go. In other words, Shastram. Shastram is for that. That wind that helps you to go through this ocean with this boat called material body. How beautifully it is done. Krishna has spoken this to Uddhava. Maya anukulena nabhasvate ridam. That favorable, wind has to be favorable. It should not blow against you, isn't it? The wind should not blow against you. But this wind called Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is flowing favorably to take you to the other side. Puman bhavabdhim natarel sa atmaham. After receiving all these things, if he has not used it, Krishna says, Puman bhavabdhim natarel sa atmaham. If he has not used it to cross over this material life, Krishna says he is the killer of the soul. He is the killer of the soul. He is the killer of the soul. So, so Krishna's definition, as I mentioned before, of the Krishna's definition of the suicide is when one turns one's back to the self-realization, or when one does not take it very seriously. That Krishna says that such people, who are, they are actually committing violence towards their own soul, towards their own soul, not allowing the soul to progress from the spiritual path. The other things in the second line, Nahinasti Almana Almanam Tado Yadiparam Gadim, that in such a case, what will happen is that the when one goes away from self-realization, the process of realizing the self, and one continuously develop the materialistic culture in oneself, or advance on the material path, automatically that coverage gets thickened. The coverage gets thickened. And when it gets very thick, that is why, in spite of all efforts, sometimes even very highly intellectual people, because they have used their intelligence to study the things in the wrong way, when you speak to them about Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't go into their head still. They will take Bhagavad Gita and start evaluating like another textbook. That's where the problem starts. And they will think that this is for another thesis to be made out of it. That's what they think. Or we have got another 13 chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, let's make a thesis out of it for a doctorate or whatever that is. But what is the use of it? Krishna is saying here that if your that coverage of the soul gets thickened and not able to understand what Krishna is saying, and one is not endeavoring in that direction, Krishna says he has not understood this. So the genuine or the genuine symptom of a person who has actually understood Bhagavad Gita is that he is endeavoring hard and practicing it in one's life. And one is practicing one's life, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. If he is not practicing, it means he has not understood. It has not penetrated inside. That's what it simply means. So this is why in the Vedic tradition, acharyas are given such a high respect. Why? Because they not only preach the message, but they practice themselves in their daily activities. All their activities, if you analyze, any of the great acharyas, you will find that their life itself was a message of this great message, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. No difference at all. Their realizations, the literature they have compiled, all their activities will point out to this one thing, that they have actually absorbed everything in their own life. That is what makes them perfect. That is why in the system we follow, Prabhupada says we follow the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas, for this reason only. He didn't say that we'll go and get somebody from university and we'll follow them because he's got doctorate. No, he's not saying that. Why? Because they have no realization on these things. They have not practiced it. All they have done is theoretically they have cooked up something. and got their, used it for their own, whatever benefit that is. So therefore, one has to be cautious about Bhagavad Gita. When we accept Bhagavad Gita from the different authorities, then in this verse, as I mentioned before, Mahinastatanatmanam tatoyadi param gadim. In other words, that thickens, Krishna says, isn't it? And Ishopanishad says the same thing in a little different way. Ishopanishad puts it, if you look at Ishopanishad verse, I think it is verse 3. Ishopanishad says, Asurya namate loka andhena tamasa vrata tamste prethyabhi gachandi ye ke chatmahano janaha, atmahano janaha. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. So, you may have materially got a lot of qualifications, but if you are killing your soul, not caring for that, no matter what material qualifications you have, Krishna says that you have to enter into andhena tamasa vrata, that ignorance will envelop. And that is exactly the same message here. Mahinastyalpanalpanam tatoyadi param gadim. That one who has practiced it, the question of studying and practicing it are two important things. It's not simply we study these things and theoretically keep it in our head. That is no use. Unless we put that into use in our daily life. That is why you will see adhyayanam, japam, dhyanam, bhagavadam, Srimad Bhagavadam. All this is a part of the process. You can't separate it, take it out from your life. And everything is necessary to have this knowledge to develop it in oneself. Otherwise, as Ishavanishad says here, Andhena tamasavruta, he'll be enveloped, Asurya namate loga, he will go into such hellish existence where there is no possibility of coming back to knowledge again. Knowledge is coming when there is sattvagunam, in mood of goodness. But if we constantly cultivate tamogunam, and tamogunam becomes stronger and stronger, although materially everything is going wonderful, at the end of life, that tamogunam will decide that your next body will be, what the next body will be. The material qualifications and material opulences will not help at that time. It is the gunam, or the quality that has grown around the soul, that is what will determine the next body. And if it is very thick at that time, the coverage of the soul in deepest ignorance, Krishna says here, Asurya namate loke andhena tamasavrudaha. That andhena tamasavrudaha, he'll become so blind because of that ignorance, tamogunam, that he has to go into Asurya namate loka, to Asura's planets, or with the demons he has to inhabit himself. And this is how the demoniac mentality builds up inside. Due to our own karma, it comes back to us in this way. Falls down to such hellish existence. In the later on, in the divine and demoniac nature, Krishna says it in a different way. Krishna says, I put them into such hellish conditions, he says. So what does it all mean? It means this, Asurya namade loga andhena tamasavridam. Then, and Krishna says, such people, he is referring to them as Ede Chalmahado Jano Janaha. They are the people who are actually committing suicide. They are the people who are actually committing suicide. Normally, when we say suicide in this world, in this body we gave up because we couldn't get any more pleasure out of this body due to various reasons, due to strong identification also. Some of them we commit suicide. But this suicide, what Krishna is talking about is much more dangerous, because if we commit this suicide, the spiritual suicide that Krishna refers to here, the result of that will be that it may be very, very long time before another opportunity comes to us to advance in Krishna consciousness, to understand Krishna or to realize the self. That's why it is spoken like that. Almahandya Janaha and Ishavasya Upanishad, this third mantram, is only referring to this. You can see Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads are going very closely together. There is not a big difference in all these things. The knowledge is exactly the same. That unless one take these messages very, very seriously and get the inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness, one has not understood Bhagavad Gita. That's what it means. So, important thing is not studying alone. Whatever little we have understood, to put that into practice. as we said before, all the principles of Krishna consciousness, the chanting, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, whatever one has to do, that should go simultaneously, along with that, side by side. Otherwise, it will not have any effect. Theoretically, I have understood everything. I have done this course, I have done that degree, I have done this, I have done that. And then I finished everything. Now I got the certificate. That's useless. It's no use. The only thing is, if this knowledge is utilized in daily life, and then, that is why, if it is not giving us inspiration, we should start taking Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, read it again and again. Every day it must become a practice. Because this is the engine to drive our spiritual life. The engine is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That should drive the spiritual life into the further and further. Otherwise it's not going to happen. What else is there? So, prakrutteiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha yapashyati tathalpanam akartaram sapashyati. Then, when one has developed a very strong, thick coverage of the soul, the jiva will struggle very hard to come out of it. The jiva will struggle very hard to come out of it. That is why when Krishna consciousness is available, one should take it wholeheartedly, without waiting for another time to come, or waiting for the old age to come. Prakrutteiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha yapashyati tathalpanam akartaram sapashyati. Krishna says something different now. So far, Krishna spoke about the two different verses. Krishna mentioned about the vision of a person who wants to progress in this path of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Now Krishna says another important aspect. What is that? This was spoken before in Karma Yoga also. Prakrute kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. The same thing Krishna has put forward in a different way. Prakrutteiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasham yapashyati tatha atmanam akartaram sapashyati. Here what Krishna is saying is that we have got Purusha and we have got Prakriti. We have got Purusha and we have got Prakriti, which we have discussed so many times. Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, in other words. So out of this, Prakriti has this nature. What is that? She engages, creates the karma in us, isn't it? She engages us all in different activities. Material nature is doing that. Krishna says, we must realize this very, very strongly in our mind, not to think that I am the doer. Rather, material nature is forcing us to do a particular thing. Prakriti kriyamanani. It's the material nature that is working. One should see that. Krishna says, why? Prakriti kriyamanani. Prakriteva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha. All karma. Krishna says everything that is happening in the creation is done by Prakriti. That is important because this identity with the body is the result of that, is that I am the doer has built up very strongly in us. And we will still argue, in spite of hearing it many times, that I've done this, I've done that, I'm going to do this in the future. If I had not done this, this would have happened. Had I not done this, would have. But we forget the Prakriti's role in that. Prakriti behind us is forcing us to do that. Isn't it? Prakriti behind us is forcing us to do that. These things you can easily realize it. Easily understand it, at least theoretically, even if it is not totally going in. See, in the three states of existence, for example, in the vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, as soon as you move into sleeping conditions or in the dream state, whatever that was happening in the vacant state becomes inactive, isn't it? Becomes inactive. For example, the Jagrat state, you have made so many plans to do. But because the Prakriti was pushing you to go to sleep, you couldn't complete that work. You have to keep it for next day. Is it not? For example, say you have planned something. You want to build, say, a house. You want to start the work. You start the work. But you know very well in the morning when you start the work, by evening you have to finish. Isn't it? By evening you have to stop at the evening. You can only start the next day. Not immediately, throughout, continuously for another few days, you can't do that. Why? Because behind this, the nature is telling us, look, you can work for 8 hours, after that you have to rest. He puts us there down. You lie down there, you have no choice, isn't it? As soon as you go into sleep, into the dream state, what's happening there? Where is the house? What you are building? That's all gone with that, with the body. It's lying there somewhere. The body is lying there and the soul is somewhere else at that time. You, the person, is not there in any of them. In none of these, you are not there. You are already experiencing another world in another state of existence, which is the dream state, where the mind is bringing out so many thoughts from different angles and engaging you in another world altogether. Just see how much freedom you have. Here you have made all the plans for the blueprint for the house. You have prepared everything, architects designed everything you have organized. And in this very 8 hours time, your freedom has been taken out from you completely. And in the next state, in the dream state, the mind is coming into the role of playing and controlling your activities at that time, and whatever the mind is dictating, you are going along with that at that time in the dream state. And similarly, when you move from the dream state to the deep sleep or the sushupti states, what happens then? Even the mind has nothing to do with you at that time. So normally what's happening is, the soul comes in, the individual soul which we are, which is our true identity, the soul comes and accepts this Jagrat situation or the vacant state and leaves the Jagrat and goes to dream and leaves the dream and goes to deep sleep. And in this, a soul that is moving in from one state to another, So in all these situations, there is very limited freedom for the individual. So Krishna is saying here, Prakriteivaja karmani kriyamanani sarvasha. See that influence of Prakriti behind you, which is constantly monitoring you and which is constantly controlling you in all aspects. Isn't it? Prakriti kriyamanani Prakriteivaja karmani kriyamanani sarvasha. But do we any time recognize the role of Prakriti in this, any of our life, any activities? Never. Not once we recognize that Prakriti is behind me doing this. I am doing this. This is the conditioning. So Krishna says that when one recognizes this point, that Prakriteivaja karmani kriyamanani sarvasha, then he will not start, this work will not stick to him. It will not stick to him. The sticking nature will go from him. And also, akartaram yapashyati tadhalmanam akartaram sapashyati. The soul is not doing anything. Actually, material nature is forcing things on us, and our senses and mind intelligence are acting accordingly, according to material nature. The soul is not affected. That's what Krishna is saying. That is what, and when one sees that, yapashyati tadhalmanam akartaram sapashyati, he sees things properly. Just like earlier, what did Krishna say? Krishna said, vinashyarsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. So Krishna says, one who sees things in this way, he is seeing. Who? Earlier he said, samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Vinashyarsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati, he said. He is seeing that. Now Krishna says, prakritiyevacha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha. Prakritiyevacha karmani kriyamanani. Material nature is doing everything. All the karma is executed by the material nature. See that, Krishna says. And similarly, yapashyati tadhalpanam akartaram sapashyati. The soul inside has nothing to do with it. He is not doing anything. And from there, we also have to conclude that the soul is independent. Soul is not bound by any of these things. What is actually happening is, within us, our things that has come from that, from the Mahatattvam in the form of which constituted this material body, namely the 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, the 5 tanmatras, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham, and the 5 material elements, and the mind, intelligence, false ego, and the jiva, all together is actively engaged in these things. But Purusha, the Krishna, the Super Soul, who is present within us, is not affected by any of these things. Krishna says, one who sees these things in this particular way, sees things properly. So now you can see where we need correction in our own eyesight. There's no point in changing the glasses here. The glasses are inside, and that glasses has to change there. Epashyati sapashyati, Krishna says, that glass is what needs changing, the inside one, that understanding. When that understanding changes, then Krishna says you are seeing things properly. Otherwise our vision is very defective. That is what Krishna is saying. That even if you look at the third chapter also in Karma Yoga, Krishna insists these points very strongly. Only thing is we are not able to take it very seriously because of our own weaknesses. Krishna says here, if you look at the chapter 3 verse 5, What did he say there? In the chapter 3, verse 6. Nahi kaschid. Nakaschil shanavavi jadu dushta tyagarmakal. Kairyade avashak karma sarva prakritir gunehi. Everything is prakriti, what it is doing is. He says here, Nahi kaschil shanavavi jadu dushta tyagarmakal. Kairyade avashak karma sarva prakritir gunehi. Sarva prakritir gunehi. Without prakriti's interference, this will not happen. Without prakriti's interference, this will not happen. So prakriti is the one that is pushing. Now, why is Krishna saying this? Why is Krishna saying this? Because everyone has a prakriti. Prakriti means one's nature. Sometimes we say about some people, isn't it? Oh, that's his nature. You can't do anything about it. He's like that. That's his nature, isn't it? Why do we say that? Because if you understand the nature of a person, then you will not feel any kind of animosity towards him. That's his nature. What can you do? It's his nature. That's it. So, just like sometimes... You develop some animosity towards someone for some reason, whatever it is. He has done this to me, he has done that to me, whatever it is. So you feel animosity. But once you know his nature is like that, then there is no point in thinking about it too much. What can you do? That's his nature. So that is called a prakriti. That is the prakriti of a person. Prakriti. It's also called subhavam in sometimes. It's called subhavam. So once it so happened that you can see in different living entities, you can experience that. Sometimes in the night, you walk into someone's house. So, their dog is lying on the doorstep. By mistake, not noticing the dog, you put your feet on its tail or something. So what will it do? Oh, it will start like that, isn't it? That's his nature. You don't get angry with the dog because of that, do you? Why? Because that's his nature to bark straight away. He has shown his nature. There is nothing, no feeling about that. You don't feel. So, similarly, Krishna is saying here, if you understand the prakriti, material nature in that way, then you will know that you are not actually running this show. Purusha and Prakriti together are carrying out everything in this world. They are the forces behind it, Purusha and Prakriti. Earlier we have seen material existence started for the conditioned soul, for the jiva, when the Purusha started interacting with the Prakriti. Purusha, the non-doer. But it is only due to his presence that Prakriti is able to do this. Prakriti cannot work independently. Prakriti can only do it when the Purusha is present there. Due to the presence of the Super Soul, that Prakriti is able to carry out all these activities. Just by his presence. And how is he present? He is present, the Super Soul, within every one of us. Therefore, in his presence, we, the individual soul, can do all this, what we are doing in this world. Everything we are able to do because of that. And that is the proper way it has to be understood. That, like in this example I'm saying, that just like the dog you fell, Prakriti has come, straight away started acting. His nature is like that. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's no point in fighting with him at that time. Why are you barking at me? You have done something which has upset his Prakriti. His Prakriti you have upset already. Once it so happened that there was one sannyasi. This sannyasi was properly followed the rules of sannyasam. In other words, sannyasam in the ancient times was such that one was very rigid in their observance of sannyasam, rigidly followed. In other words, material possessions were not there. They had to beg for their food daily. Bhiksha, they call it. Sannyasis used to accept bhiksha. And there are rules for that also, how much bhiksha you can take, and you're not allowed to keep it for the next day. Imagine that. Grahastha is allowed to keep store as much as he wants. But sannyasi is not allowed. He is supposed to go that particular day and collect only for that day what is allowed. He is allowed to collect for that day. That was the ancient days. The sannyasam was strictly followed, adhered to. So they used to follow this and they are only allowed to go to 3 houses, not more than that. Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, that's how they asked for the... And there was a time like that when all the householders also knew when a sannyasi comes how he should be honored, and without giving in deep troubles that he doesn't have to struggle too much for his existence. So he was naturally, he will be offered everything what he require like that. Yeah. So one sannyasi was there in those times. This story goes back to that time. One sannyasi was there, and this sannyasi, he was very fixed up in his goal. Because sannyasis already have their goal is very clear in their head, in their definition, isn't it? The sannyasa ashram is such that the goal is absolutely clear. That's what they want to get at the end. go back to Krishna or go back to Brahma, whatever that process of sannyasam they have taken. So this sannyasi has come to sannyasashram after a householder life. And in the beginning it was very difficult, even after going through the vanaprastham and all, it was very difficult in sannyasashram. That it to strictly comply with all the requirements of sannyasashram is very, very hard. It's very hard. That you have no permanent place of residence. You have no proper food on time, prasadam on time. So much dependent on Krishna one has to be. One has to be so much dependent on Krishna. And completely gone away from the shelter of the home and the society, community and everything, finished for the sannyasi, isn't it? What we see as sannyasam today in the modern world is a reflection of this, that's all. Couldn't say that it was strictly as per the system what Krishna has instituted in the Bhagavatam. That if you read, you will not take sannyas any time in life. Nobody will take. It is so tough. The injunctions of the sannyasam is so difficult. But anyway, this sannyasi took sannyasam, and because he had some spiritual strength, he was able to follow it through for some time. And because the goal is very clear, he is always, his mind is so focused in that the last part of the life, he is preparing for the death, and eventually sannyasis are always liberated. There is no question of sannyasis coming back. If sannyas ashram is properly executed, Shastra is saying no more coming back. That is absolutely, absolutely guaranteed. It's a guarantee that sannyasam offers. So our sannyasi used to go for bhiksha. And one particular day, he had to go, and it was a very disappointing day. There was nothing was coming. And he was very hungry as well. He hasn't eaten and he was very hungry. The day before also didn't get much. So very, very, in a physically very difficult situation. Somehow or the other, on the third house, the house lady, she gave some food to him. She gave some food to him. So he brought the food home, and he had no home to live. He was living, he constructed a thatched cottage somewhere in the forest, and he was living there, in this thatched cottage. And the cottage didn't have enough fencing or any proper doors or protection that way. Because sannyasi doesn't have any possessions, you don't have to. You need all these alarms and systems only when you have so much to protect, isn't it? Otherwise, what do you need all this for? So the sannyasi's case, that is the beauty of sannyasa ashram. You don't need alarms and all that. So he has kept this food inside, and he went to bathe himself, because that is there. They have to bathe before they take the food, and they have got sannyasa mantram to chant. Sometimes they recite Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, before they take the prasadam and all. So he went to bathe, and when he came back, after the whole day's bhiksha and also the collecting the food, and he was virtually very hungry. He was very hungry. In addition to that, after bathing, he felt it much more. After going and bathing in the river and he came back, he felt it much more. When he came back to take his food, to take the prasadam or the bhiksha, what he has collected, he saw a dog was running out from side after eating all that what he has collected. And our sannyasi couldn't check himself. What he did was, he took a stone and thrown at the dog. Remember, he has already had his goal to go back to Krishna. It is with that goal he has taken to sannyasashram. And now, see what has happened. In 1 second, the whole goal has changed. The goal was right at that moment, he couldn't bear it, what the dog has done to him. So he just took the stone and threw at the dog. The dog, as it says, that went to Lord Brahma complaining about this, what the sannyasi has done. Because the dog also, it was not an ordinary dog. It was one of the demigods who came to test the sannyasa ashram of this our sannyasi. These things do happen in the proper execution of sannyasa ashram. In the great personalities, these such things have happened. So this, when this incident happened, the dog went back to Brahma and complained to Brahma that what the sannyasi has done. So there was an examination of the sannyasi. Sannyasi left his body and came after when he died. Brahma said, I have this report from the from my people who reported about you like this. This is what has happened. So there is no going back now. For what he has done, what was the punishment, you know, what Brahma gave it to him? He gave him this punishment. You become the head of a mutt somewhere. Once you become the head of a mutt, that was the punishment he gave to the punishment to this sannyasi. Why this punishment was given? Because if you make a person, Brahma's Brahma's point was this: if you want to punish a person, especially one who is following the spiritual path, but due to some activities like this, the best next punishment is for him is to make him the head of a mutt or head of an ashram. In which case, what will happen is, when he goes there, he will naturally, his activities will start again in the wrong way. In other words, he will fall further from there. So that was his punishment. Unless he is more careful and he has become determined not to fall down again, he will get distracted by spiritual path. He will fall from the spiritual life. So this story is going to point out to us that the spiritual life institution is not everything. It is individual that matters more than anything else. Once a spiritual progress, anything that checks the spiritual progress, one has to take care. And otherwise, what will happen is that this is also another vikshevam, that some commitment to something like that in a way, that not concerning about one's own spiritual progress, but rather giving importance to things which will come as an obstacle in your own spiritual advancement. And if one does not take care of those things, Krishna says here in the Bhagavad Gita also that they can come as a hurdle on your progress in the spiritual path. They can come as a hurdle. So the important thing to remember is that the nature of a person, the sannyasi's nature is supposed to be that he is not inimical to any living entity. What to talk about to another devotee or another sannyasi or anyone, not to any other living entity. But that sannyasi has acted in this way. The result of that was that vasana has gone inside. And that vasana will develop into another activity in a similar way when it gets the right opportunity. Especially if you are given the responsibility of running an ashram or a mat or anything, if such propensities are there inside, they will again take the seed from there. And it will start growing another tree from there. Imagine how difficult spiritual life is when it comes to these things. We are not aware of any of the subtle side of the spiritual life. We see everything from the gross platform. We think we go up in spiritually. On the other side, inside, down all the time. This is what's happening. That is why this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is important. Opening up our eyes, as it says, opening up our eyes to the spiritual sky. How will it open up? Only through the knowledge it will open up. Otherwise it won't open up. It will only open up through this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Krishna is saying here that Prakriti Jair Gunai, everything is Prakriti is doing. And Purusha is Akartaram, Akartaram Sapashyati. That Purusha has nothing to do with it. And this is the knowledge that has to go in, as Krishna says. That in one instance, what one happened was, this is the case of one sannyasi. Look at the case of another sannyasi. This sannyasi was bathing once in Ganga River. He was standing in the Ganga River and bathing. While bathing, a scorpion was passing through the river. Somehow the scorpion fell into the water and it was actually drowning. The scorpion was drowning in the river. Seeing this, what did the sannyasi do? Sannyasi put the hand underneath the scorpion, underneath the water, and lifted the scorpion and put it on the shore. And when he put it on the shore, the scorpion bit him very nicely for doing the service. Bit him very nicely, and it fell on the river shore. In a 2 minutes, somehow more water came in the river. The scorpion fell back into the water again. Again, the sannyasi took it up. Took up the scorpion again put it, even again the second time, the scorpion has bitten him. So someone who was observing this in the riverbank asked the sannyasi, why do you do this? He said, why do you do this? After all, anything you do to it, it's only going to bite you back like a snake. It will bite back. No matter what good you're trying to do it to that scorpion. You know what the sannyasi answered? Sannyasi said, that the business of the scorpion is to bite, and that it is doing, that it's its nature. As a sannyasi, my nature is to save the living entity from that is that compassion for another living entity. Of course, here it is saving its life, but in the similar way, a sannyasi's nature has to be like that. That compassion for other living entities has to be there. And that is why sannyasa ashram is so respected, for this reason only. That my duty is to save that scorpion at any cost. Although he is biting me, that is his nature. That is scorpion's nature is to bite, and my nature is to save. So that is proper understanding. And therefore, he didn't have to feel very inimical towards the scorpion. He knew that scorpion will bite him. Still he did this service to the scorpion. So,
Prakriteva jakarmani kriyamanani sarvasha yapashyadi tadalmanam akartaram sapashyadi.
Then, similarly, the soul also, Krishna is saying here, that one who sees the soul as akarta, akarta means who is not the doer. The soul is not the doer. And Krishna says he sees the things properly. He sees the things properly. Then, normally, everything in the nature, in Krishna's creation, Prakriti has a rule, and Prakriti will do its things in its own way. And if you see, try to tamper with Prakriti, often it will have its own problems. It will come back in some. Everything that Prakriti functions in this creation, Prakriti's way of doing things, material nature's way of doing things is very complete. Very complete. You can see, like, you know, in the modern science, they do a lot of research work. And they try to develop new things. They think that they are modifying something what Prakriti is already doing, isn't it? For example, like seedless grapes they have developed. They think that there's a great, they need to do this in order that the grapes won't have any seeds, we can eat it much easier. You know, you can save the time of taking out the seed from the grape, which is a big saving. Or things like they want to develop mangoes without the nut inside, so they can have the whole mango. Like this, all kinds of things we do with the nature. But strictly speaking, Prakriti has created these things with certain reasons behind it. With certain reasons behind it. Just take for example, most of the fruits, when we extract the juice from the fruits and we take it, the effect of that is not exactly the same as the fruit, eating the fruits, isn't it? Although it is much easier to drink the juice rather than eating the fruits, the reason why material nature has kept the juice and the fruits together is that if you eat the fruits, automatically it allows the system of the body to function properly in such a way that one is able to carry out the digestion and also the motion and everything related to the body can happen much easier in a proper way. But when you take the juice, you also have to take the medicine for constipation. That is how it is, isn't it? Because, okay, in the youth it may not happen, but when you get older, when the body starts withering away, you will notice these things a little bit more clearer. That you can see the fruits with its fiber and content, whatever that is inside, with all its the way nature is created, is complete in itself, that it allows the body to consume it in that particular form, and it takes away what is unwanted, and in that way the whole system works. But when we try to make it in a different way, in our way, to make it easier, everything what you do, you will have to do something else to keep that system working. You see? To keep that system working. Krishna is saying here that those who are performing such research work in the laboratory, who are doing after this kind of things, they have to be a little bit careful about these things, because otherwise what will happen is, you will keep on, basically modern science what it does is researching about this and tampering with the material nature, isn't it? That's what all this research is about. And after so many years of research work, still there is no satisfaction anywhere, till they are researching further. As though there is a lot more to be, and they have seen the material nature from a different angle. They think this material nature requires our research work. They are not seeing that the material nature is working under the direction of a higher
authority. And material nature is complete in itself, that they are not able to recognize. They think without their research, this material nature won't be able to work properly. So, one who sees these things, Krishna says there, that the Purusha, who is actually the witness of everybody, the super soul who is present within the body, he is unaffected by any of the activities of the material nature. He is not interfering in the material nature, the Purusha. But it is a jiva, the living entity, who is conditioned and ignorant. He is the one who tampers with the material nature. This is the difference between Purusha and the jiva. Purusha, Krishna's super soul, he does not interfere anything with the Prakriti. That is why if you remember that verse in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Rigvedam, the same verse appears. Dva suparna sayuja sakhayam. Two birds sitting on the tree. The material body is compared to like a tree. In this tree, there is a branch going out. On that branch, there are two birds sitting there. One bird is the jivalma, the living entity, conditioned soul. The other bird is the paramalma, super soul. Super soul is witnessing and looking at jivalma all the time. What is he up to now? Jivalma has turned its head from paramatma and is busy with eating the fruits of the tree. This is a very famous exposition in the Bhagavadam, this verse, which comes much later. And it is also in the Vedas, the same verse appears. That these two birds, the comparison of the two birds, is in the Upanishads also, apart from this. In Upanishads it's there, in the Vedas it's there, Bhagavadam also it's there. So there it is saying, that out of these two birds, one bird is constantly observing. He doesn't play with the material nature. The other bird, because of ignorance or avidya or jivalma, as he is called, the conditioned soul, is constantly busy in tampering with the material nature. So that is the difference between jivalma and paramatma. Jivalma, paramatma doesn't interfere. Paramatma knows that material nature can work on its own. Doesn't need any. Already, because in his presence is sufficient for material nature to carry out its own duties. It doesn't require any interference. Whereas Jivatma is thinking, if I don't interfere, material nature cannot go on. This is the difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. In this particular chapter, this is a very important topic, because Jivatma, we consider, these things are necessary to understand, because otherwise, this will all remain as a kind of a unknown entity. What does Jivatma means? What does Paramatma mean? Something somewhere in the body, somewhere is doing something. I have nothing to do with it. I carry on my business. And that's the way we will think. But it's not like that. We are a part of this system. We are not independent of that. We are those ones who are referred to as Jivatma. And our activities in this world are such, completely ignoring Paramatma's role there. And we act independently. And there all the trouble starts. Isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here, in Ishavasya Upanishad also, what does it begin with? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnal Purnam Bhavachyade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyade. Why did the Upanishad mantra start with this verse? Everything that exists is complete, it says. In the material nature, everything that exists in this creation is complete. It doesn't require anything from our side to offer. Everything is complete. And if you take the complete out of the complete, what remains is also complete. Isn't it? Purnamevava shishyate. That if you look at the first verse in the Ishavanishad, you will find. You can see the connection between Bhagavad Gita and other Upanishads. It is so strong. This is the invocation mantra of the Upanishads. It says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevava shishyate. Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as a complete whole. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete by itself. And because He is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. You see? So, this doesn't give much scope for research work. It says you don't have to do any research work. It says very openly in an indirect language. That's what it is telling us. That is why from the spiritual point of view, there is not necessary, you won't find in Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavadam anywhere any description or any proposal for economic development. Why? Because as far as Shastras are concerned, material nature is complete in itself. It can offer you everything what is needed for the survival in this world and to practice spiritual life, to advance on the spiritual life. It's only when we go away from that, as we said before, turn our back to the soul and start our conditioned nature, start tampering with the material nature, and the result will be that Krishna says that you are flouting the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Ishopanishad, in the Bhagavatam. Everything we leave ourselves and we go in our... This is what is called the acting whimsically, isn't it? Acting whimsically. If you remember when we studied the Karma Yogam, Krishna talked about three things there. What are they? Karmam, Akarmam and Vikarmam. All these categories actually belong to Vikarmam. You see? Everything, a lot of these activities, what we execute in this world, belongs to that category called Vikarmam. And we want to continue with our Vikarmam, and we want to have happiness also in this world. And Krishna is saying that is where the problem is. That's where the problem is. Actually, if you look at the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in one instance, Prabhupada talks about when Prachedas came back. You remember the story of Prachedas? It is in the fourth canto, yes. Prachedas came back after performing 10,000 years of penances in the forest. When they came back, they saw that the whole planet was covered with trees. I'm sure you have read this. Whole planet was covered with trees. And Prachedas got very angry about this, and they wanted to burn the trees. So, at that point in the purport, Prabhupada is writing there that these trees are necessary in this world, and people have this misconception. People have this conception that without the presence of the tree, there won't be any rains, isn't it? Because in the modern world we say rainforest. So people grow trees everywhere, and a lot of places they develop forest thinking that because of that we'll have rain, isn't it? This is a very strong understanding in the modern environmental experts. They call it like that, isn't it? Prabhupada is asking the question there. If it is like that, where are the trees in the ocean? There also it's raining. Where is that rain coming from? Number one. As far as Shastra is concerned, trees are not the responsible for the rains. Trees may be there, may not be there. That's another. Doesn't mean that you have to cut all the trees down. That's not what Prabhupada is suggesting. Prabhupada is saying this, that the rains are happening due to sacrifice, not due to anything else. Annad bhavandi bhudani parjanyad anna sambhavaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very clear about this. It is only due to sacrifice you get the rains, not due to anything else. And environmentalists are saying that it is not due to your sacrifice, it's due to our forest, what we are growing everywhere. That is why we have the rains. Now, scientists will not accept this statement from the Shastra, would they? They would not. They will think that this is some mythological conclusions. No. One who is fixed up in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, one who has the understanding how the material nature works, he knows that it is only due to sacrifices that this material world gets the rain. The rain comes from, the demigods have to be satisfied. They have to be offered these things. And in several instances, Prabhupada repeats this story, the importance of sacrifices, especially in the modern age, in Sankirtana Yajnam, or Sankirtana chanting the holy names of Krishna. So, everything has its own role to play in this creation. And sacrifices are the ones which causes the rain. As much as Prabhupada said there, then this Ishavasya Upanishad says the same thing, that from complete, it is created in completely in this particular way, that everything, that relationship is also established. Due to this, this will happen. Rains will come due to performance of sacrifices. So Krishna is saying here that this when one understands this difference between how the Prakriti works, how the Purusha works, and when one has properly absorbed his consciousness in that way, he is qualified for liberation. So you can see how necessary it is to have a deeper understanding of all these things. Yadha bhuta pratak bhavam ഏകസ്ഥമനുപശ്യതി തഥ ഏവച വിസ്താരം ബ്രഹ്മ സമ്പദ്യതേ തഥ. യഥാഭൂതപൃഥക്ഭാവം ഏകസ്ഥമനുപശ്യതി തഥമേവച വിസ്താരം ബ്രഹ്മ സമ്പദ്യതേ തഥ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് പൃഥക്ഭാവം. പൃഥക്ഭാവം മീൻസ് ദിസ് ഡിഫറന്റ് ഫോംസ് വാട്ട് വി സീ ഇൻ ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ. ഇൻ ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ വി ഹാവ് ഡിഫറന്റ് ബോഡീസ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ഡിഫറന്റ് മെൻ ഹാവ് വൺ ടൈപ്പ് ഓഫ് ബോഡീസ്, ഡിഫറന്റ് ടൈപ്സ് ഓഫ് ബോഡീസ് എമംഗ് ദി മെൻ, സിമിലർലി എമംഗ് ദി വിമൻ ഓൾസോ, സിമിലർലി ഡിഫറന്റ് സ്പീസീസ്. Where did all this come from? It all came from the material nature. Material nature has given us this body. And how did this body come? Based on our karma. So one has to know, Krishna is saying here, yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastam anupashyati. It has come from one source. That one source is the material nature. It is from there all this has come. Material nature ekastam anupashyati. So one should know that the origin of all these diversities in the creation is one. That is Brahman from the, in the form of material nature. Material nature is the cause of that. From that it has manifested in this different form. And then what else? Tada eva javistaram brahma sambadhyade tada. That one thing we are seeing in different things. So that one thing we should see in all these different things. Isn't it? That one thing is what? The super soul who is present there with the individual soul, he super soul has come into all these living entities and he has manifested in all these condition in these living entities present there with the jiva. With the jiva he is present there. So we should see that one who is present in all these different living entities. Same time, we should also know that all these living entities, different living entities, exist in that one. You see? That one has come into all these different entities and all these living entities are also existing in that one. That's what he is saying here. Yadha bhuta prithak bhavam egastam anubhashyati. Egastam anubhashyati. Continuously one should see that. Anubhashyati, Krishna says, that egastam. That oneness of that origin of that super soul who is present in every living entity in different bodies, he is present. That one person. That super soul is present in every living entity. He is broken up, appears as though it's broken up. But all of them appears in that one person. That one person. That is the complexity of this presence of the super soul in the living entity. Then when one sees this nature of the living entity in this way, Krishna says very soon, Tada eva vistaram brahma sambadhyate tatha. Brahma sambadhyate tatha. Krishna says there that the material nature, the role of material nature is like this, that it presents before us in different forms. But living entity, the person who wants to advance on the spiritual side, when he sees through Bhagavad Gita, he has to see that it is that one who has come and occupied in all the different bodies as super soul, along with the conditioned soul, living entity. And all the living entities actually existing in that one super soul. So one super soul from whom they have come. So that is one another important point Krishna is mentioning there. Yadha bhuta pratak bhavam egastam anubhashyati tatam eva javistaram brahma sambadhyate tadam. If you look into Ishopanishad verse 7 in Ishopanishad, you will see the same thing spoken in a different way. Ishopanishad says, Mantra 7, Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmaiva bhud vijanada tatra ko moha ka shokaha egatvam anubhashyadaha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What is there as illusion or anxiety for him? Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmaiva bhud vijanadam tatra ko moha ka shoka egatvam anupashyataha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What is there as illusion or anxiety for him? In other words, he has already realized the truth. That is what Ishopanishad is saying. Exactly the same verse is brought in here in this form, what Krishna says here. Yathabhuta pratakbhavamekastamanupashyati tatameva vistaram brahma sampadyate tadaham. Then, that is the verse 7 of Ishopanishad. Then, anadityal nirgunatval paramaatmavayam ramaatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaundeya nakarodi nalipyate. This is an important verse. Anadityal nirgunatval paramaatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaundeya nakarodi nalipyate. That up to this point, if you have followed the Bhagavad Gita, this chapter, you will notice in the verse 27 and 28, what did Krishna say? Krishna says to see everything in two, isn't it? Everything in two. Prakriti and Purusha, Kshetram and Kshetrajna, material nature, Prakriti and Purusha, in two things, yes. But in the last verse, Krishna says, Yatha bhutapratak bhavam egastamani vashyadi. Now you have to see it as one, Krishna says, the oneness in there. So like this, Krishna is opening up our understanding of the relationship between the nature of the spirit and the matter. This particular chapter is nothing but a study of spirit and matter properly. And when one has done reflection of this particular chapter well, he will understand that the differentiation between spirit and matter. In other words, this bodily concept of life, one can free oneself by studying this chapter thoroughly. That is why it is spoken so explicitly in this way. Anadityal nirgunatval paramaatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaundeya nakarodi nalipyadeyam. Krishna says here that this soul, which is super soul, because it has been existing anadi, it has no beginning. And also it does not have any layam or dissolution. It doesn't finish. It exists always. It's always existing. And because of that, and also because it has no connection with the modes of material nature, prakriti, it doesn't associate with the modes of nature. Just by its presence, prakriti acts, but it doesn't get absorbed in the activities of the material nature. Therefore, he is eternal. He is eternal. He is also eternal. Anadityal nirgunatval paramaatmayam avyayam. That he lives, externally exists, the super soul. But although sharirastobi kaundeya, although in the form of super soul he sits in the body, na karodi na lipyade, he doesn't do anything, nor he sticks to anything. You see, this is what the jiva has to learn from the super soul. If the jiva has to progress on the spiritual path, living entity has to progress on the spiritual path, na karodi na lipyade, that has to come, like the super soul. That quality of the super soul is shown here to tell us that this nature of the living entity or the conditioning of the jiva, we are also spiritual parts in quality like Krishna, isn't it? The quality wise we have the similar qualities like Krishna. But why Krishna's qualities is not coming to us? Why is that we are suffering day after day in one way or the other, experiencing all the distress in this world? Why is that? Because of this. Krishna says, sharirastobi kaundeya, although it is within the body, na karodi na lipyade, he doesn't do anything, neither try to exploit the material nature, nor start sticking to his life in this world. This is where things go totally wrong for us, isn't it? We do everything in this world. What's necessary to say, thinking that we are saving ourselves. And then what else? We stick to everything. Once we enter family life, we stick to such an extent that family life becomes everything in life. Nothing else in this world is important. My family life is the topmost thing. It has to go on in this world at any cost. And that becomes day in and day out. That becomes the vichevam then. And once that becomes the vichevam, you can't even open up Bhagavatam after that, could you? You'll find it very difficult because all this thing, this is for a householder. All householders go through this. This is why it is strongly advised not to get into this business in the first instance. But now it is too late to think about it. You got involved. But Krishna is saying, if you have got involved, doesn't matter. But at least safeguard yourself. Na karodi, na lipyade. Don't take it as everything in business in life. And that mistake we always commit. If you read this 13th chapter every day, for some time, all these verses, At least when the sticking gets very strong, you can pull it out a little bit from that sticky nature. The nature of the mind is to stick all the time. And this is how we get stuck in this world. Because of this sticky consciousness. In other words, when we engage in activities, what happens? As soon as you perform karma, the result will come. Result has to come. If the result is not proper, immediately we get upset. Then we start analyzing the result. What is the next thing we have to do? Step by step, we go further and further and further. And this is called the sticking nature of the karma. We talked about this before also in Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, when we spoke, I mentioned this, that this sticking has to stop. If you start getting stuck with things, then you are lost. In household life, this is the most important thing to be careful about, not to get stuck. You have to carry on with your work, all the duties what you have to do, but not to get sticking. Once you get stuck in there, then there it is, you are glued there. Then that will become the whole activity. There will be no, although nothing will come out of it, nothing will be gained from that, because the nature of Maya is such that it wants to stick. It wants to stick you. So in order to escape from that, Krishna is saying there, look at the super soul, how he is acting. He is saying, anaditval nirgunatval. Anaditval nirgunatval paramatmayam avyayam. Anaditval nirgunatval. That nirgunatval, not tampering with the modes of nature, that is the quality of the super soul. And it is these qualities that the jiva has to build up inside. Because once the jiva cultivates these qualities, he becomes the same qualitatively one with Krishna. Qualitatively he becomes one with Krishna then. Now, neither qualitatively nor quantitatively we are anywhere near to Krishna. Isn't it? Although we, Shastra is saying we are qualitatively one with Krishna. Spiritual sparks which has come from Krishna. But there is no symptom of anything in us. Why? Because of this strong sticky nature. And forgetting that Krishna's nature was anaditval nirgunatval paramatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaundeya nakarodi nalipyade. Nakarodi nalipyade. Vedavyas is very particular about this point. You will be surprised how many times he has repeated this. Why? Because he knew that in Kali Yuga there will be a bunch of householders who will be sticking so strongly with the family life and the community and the society and this organization, they will never be very difficult to break them away from that. He was probably very much aware of that. Look at Ishvanishad, the same verse, how it comes there. Nothing is new what is in the Bhagavad Gita. Everything that is in the Upanishads, Krishna has taken out, extracted it and put it here. That's all it is. That's why Krishna is saying here that sharirastobi kaundeya na karodi na lipyade. What does Ishvanishad say? Take mantra to have a look at that. Kurvan eveha karmani jijiveshe chidam chadam samaha evam toyi nanyadosti na karma lipyade nare. Exactly the same thing. Na karma de na karma lipyade nare. Translation. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on doing work in that way, because that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. And there is no alternative to this way for man. There is no alternative to this way for man. This is the essence of this mantra. But basically the words that is applied here, karma, work, lipyade, can be bound, nare, unto a man. So the lipyade means basically this sticking nature. This sticking nature. But Krishna is, Upanishad is saying here, you can work hundreds of years in this world if you work in this way. Which way? One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on doing work in that way, because that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. And there is no alternative to this way for man. Upanishad is saying there is no alternative. If you develop attachment and working with desire for results and desire for expecting the and fully attached to the work, then the result of that will be that you will suffer from that. That will become, make our position of the jiva as stronger. Sharirastobi kaundeya. That sharirastobi kaundeya na karodi na lipyade, about super soul, Krishna has said. But here, again, he is saying that anaditval nirgunatval paramatmayam avyayam. The differentiation between the super soul and the jiva, individual soul, is this. That super soul is not tampering with the material nature. It is not performing any activity, one. And therefore, because it is not doing that, it is not sticking to anything. The conditioned soul, jiva, what does he do? He engages in all the activities and getting stuck everywhere, at every stage in life. And at the time of death, he is thinking what to do now. So this is our position, is it not? So this is why this verses in the Bhagavad Gita is only guiding us in the right direction. How to continue our, even the so-called householder life, how one should execute without getting stuck by that. Without getting stuck by that. So therefore, normally, while practicing spiritual life, it is such an important thing. Every day we must read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam so that it is the association what we have. It is not possible always to hear Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and constantly reflect on that. That is not possible. So therefore, Krishna has given us this valuable knowledge and directly instructing through Ishavanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, by constantly reading them and keeping these thoughts in our mind, we will be able to detach ourselves from the lipyade, from the sticky nature. So whenever we are getting stuck or when the sticking gets too much, please read verse number 2, Ishavanishad, and this verse number 32 in the 13th chapter. So anadithwal nirgunatwal paramatmayam avyayam sharirastobhi kaundaya nakarodhi nalipyade. Why we discuss all these things in this way is, you may ask what is the need for all these things. No, there is a need, because often in our daily life, in this world, different kinds of problems come, isn't it, and disturb us. And we get disturbed by that. Different kind of situations develop, either in the family life or in our personal life, whatever it is, in our health-wise or wealth-wise, or whatever it is, it's happened. But when situations like this come, if these thoughts are kept in mind, if one can think through these things, it will help a lot, considerably, not to get disturbed by those things. Because it has no point in getting disturbed about all these things, because they come and they'll go. Only thing is, what we require is that discrimination, to properly understand the situation. And when you know that these instructions in the Upanishads and in the Bhagavad Gita is important, and if you have taken it wholeheartedly, then that will lead us into self-realization. Otherwise, we will be simply tossed away by the modes of nature. This is what is helping to escape from the modes of nature. Modes of nature will disturb you anyway, that you can't free yourself. But with proper knowledge and proper understanding, Krishna says it is possible to free oneself from this. Then, anaditval nirgunatval. Paramatmayam avyayam sharirastobhi kaundeya nakaroti nalipyadeyam. That Atma has no kartatvam. It doesn't have even the supersoul, doesn't have even that conception that he is the doer. Supersoul just sits there and watches the situation, never thinks he is the doer. Secondly, he neither in the activity nor in the results of karmam, the supersoul has no attachment. No attachment. Whatever results come, Supersoul doesn't say anything about it, does it? Supersoul doesn't say anything about it. But it is only in our own mind, the conditioned nature, what starts thinking about it. And we start thinking that why? Because the identification with the body has become so strong at that point. And from there, everything builds up. Now, after this, in the next two verses, what Krishna has done is, he gave two examples, two beautiful examples. In the Bhagavad Gita, some of the examples are so classic that if you understand these examples, it will give you a right, clear view of the situation, of the living entity. Yatha sarvagadam saushmyam agasham nopalipyade sarvatravastido dehe tadhalma nopalipyade. Again, about lipyade, Krishna is talking about. Just see how much importance Vedavyasa has given to this lipyade. In Ishavanishad he has mentioned that, and here again he is saying about lipyade. In the last verse he told this, and he is giving two examples how two different situations in this world. Next two verses, that's what it is. That how one should act and where he should learn from. This is what he has spoken in that verse. యథా సర్వగతం సౌష్మ్యమాకాశం నోపలిప్యతే సర్వత్ర అవస్థితో దేహే తథాత్మా నోపలిప్యతే.
The example he has taken is the sky. The example he has taken is the sky, Akasham. Akasham is the sky. Now, the nature of Akasham, let us look at it, what it is. In this space, Akasham is nothing but space, isn't it? And in this space, what all exists? Everything, isn't it? Is there anything that does not exist without space? Nothing can exist without space, isn't it? So, all this whole creation, not only this universe. In this universe, we have got the sun, one sun planet, one moon, and millions of stars, and so many other planets. They are all floating within this one universe. And the space is accommodating this whole universe, isn't it? The space is accommodating this whole universe. It's existing within that space. What else? Billions and trillions of universes like this, Shastra says, exist within the space. So, the nature of the space is such, it is present in everything. Space is present. Even if you take a pot, a clay pot, within the space, within the pot there is space, outside the pot there is space. So, it accommodates the pot also. And enters inside the pot as well as outside the pot. And they call it, the Shastram, they call it as Ghatakasham and Madhakasham, Madhakasham they call it. So, the space it occupies and it accommodates, the space accommodates everything within that. No matter who it is, what it is, everything is given a position within that. But never affected by that. That is the beauty of Akasham. So, although he is present like this, the space is present like this. If you remember, when we looked at the creation process little earlier, we saw that how the creation from Prakriti or Pradhanam, Mahatattvam has come. And then the Mahatattvam comes to three modes, the Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas. And from Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Sattugunam comes the mind, Rajogunam comes the senses, and Tamogunam comes the Tanmatras, that we have seen before. And similarly we also saw that in the process of creation, how the different, from the Mahatattvam comes the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And similarly, we also saw there itself, we talked about this, that the material element and the senses, senses of knowledge and senses of action. Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. Five material elements, five tanmatras, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. So, totally 20. Then, mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam, 24. And in addition to that, the last one, jiva, the living entity. So, 25. And above the, all these 25, super soul, Krishna, 26th element. So, like this, in the Sankhyam, we have studied all these things, isn't it? So, there, if you remember, what was the role of Akasham, the sky? It is from Akasham this creation begins, isn't it? All the other material elements come from there. The origin was Akasham. And from there came the sound. And from the sound came the next material element. And then its Sanmatra. And then the next material element, its Sanmatra. And the finally, the earth and the its Sanmatra called smell. If you remember, the five Sanmatras and the five elements, how they are related to each other. That we have seen before. The five material elements and five Sanmatras. Out of all that, the first one to start with was sky. It's from sky everything has started. So from sky, everything has come. And all this manifestation, what we have in this whole creation, has come out from that. And we are also constituted by that. Isn't it? We are also constituted by that. And in spite of all that, Bhagavad Gita is saying there, that Akasham has no connection with any of these things. Akasham has no connection with any of these things. So imagine, we are sitting here in this human body, and trying to understand this creation of Krishna. See how difficult it is. That we can't even understand these simple material elements. What to talk about? Understanding the whole creation. And where the origin is coming from? Akasham, from the sky. From the Mahatattvam, that's how the origin starts from there. So, when you have time, you can go back to the previous verses where we have talked about in detail. You can write it down and you can see how that structure builds up.
the whole material creation is nothing but, whole creation is nothing but an expansion which has come from that one thing, isn't it? From one thing in vikaram, it started. Prakriti's vikaram has developed into parinamam, which is when the change happened. So that is in Shastram, it's called as vikaram, transformation. From transformation, one transforms to another one, transforms to the next one. Like that, all different material elements, everything has come out like that. So Krishna is saying here, yatha sarvagadam saushmi akasham no balipyade. Exactly like, although from akasham, everything from the space, everything has come like this, akasham never sticks to anything. The sun is there in the sky, but akasham doesn't, accommodates the sun also, but never touches the sun, stays away from that, not affected by the sun. It allows the sun to move through, or the earth to move through, or the stars to move through, but never allows everything, but not touching anything. In other words, no palipyade, it doesn't have any connection with it. It allows them to go through it, but doesn't make any relationship with that. That is the beauty. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, the super soul is also like that. That is why it says here, sarvatra avastito dehe tathalma no palipyade. Although situated within this material body, the super soul also doesn't get involved in everything. Anything exactly like the way the sky or the space doesn't get involved with anything in the creation. Anything in the creation. So you can see the example how precise it is. Just like the sky does not get affected by anything what it carries, the space, what it carries, still able to stay away from that. Similarly, the super soul also, although present in all of us, never gets involved in anything or never gets affected by what goes on within us. What goes on within us. So many things goes on within us, isn't it? Our big, big plans we have in this life, to develop economy, to develop this, develop that. So many great ideas goes through our head. But Super Soul is never disturbed by any of these things. Carry on with your plans, he says. Witness, silent witness to everything. All our big plans, it's a silent witness to it. So that is why that example is spoken like this. Yatha sarvagadam saushmyam agasham no palipyade sarvatra avasthido dehe tathalpa no palipyade. It's an excellent, one of the finest examples to show the role of the super soul within the body. How it never gets involved in anything. You can do anything, but it never gets involved in anything. So, although he is present in every body, and because of his presence, that living spark is present in everyone, and everyone is experiencing it. And we also know that only because of his presence in the body, we are able to do things. In his presence only we can function. Otherwise we can't function. Jivatma, living entity, cannot function without his presence. You see? If he is not there, we are not there. If he goes somewhere, we have to go with him. Not that he will come with us. So, and he will go according to what we have done. According to that activity, he will go on to the next body. He will take us to the next body. So he is still there, exercising his authority on us, all such situations. All these finer relationships between the soul and the super soul, one should reflect on it very much. Because this is how we get out of our bodily understanding or identity with the body. Otherwise, whole morning to night eating, sleeping and thinking, I am this, I am that, and life will go like this. And at the end, I will say that I am dead. That's it, at the last minute, isn't it? But spiritually, as I mentioned, Socrates and personalities like that, all the great authorities in spiritual life, they segregate all these things so precisely in their own consciousness, so that material life is not anymore a concern for them. They are freed from that. That also, this soul, super soul, who is free from all conditioning and who is free from all material qualities, like three modes of material nature, he is to be known and he should be served. That is another important thing. He should be known, his presence should be known, and he should be served. And this is why in deity worship, what normally happens is, when Pujari sits down to start the deity worship, first thing, he invites him to come from inside to occupy the deity's form. That is how the process, in the Tantrika Vidhi, that is how it is. That when the process of worship starts, First thing what he does is, inside that witness, silent spectator, Paramatma is there. Ask him to come from there and to occupy, to receive the worship. So that is the process of Tandrikam. Tandrikam is like that. Vaidikam, Tandrikam, Misham. Three process of deity worship is mentioned in the Bhagavadam later. So that Tandrikya Vidhi is strictly based on this understanding. That this silent spectator, witness of every, all of our activities who is present in, he is invited to come and to accept the worship, receive the worship from the devotee. So, the same verse is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at 15:6, 15 chapter, verse 6, what does Krishna say there? You will see something very, lot of things are connected to each other. You must not think that only one verse will Krishna, the same message is hammered again and again. What does Krishna say here? Natalbhasayate suryo, nashashango na pavaga, yalgatvana nivartande, tadhama paramam mamam. Natalbhasayate suryo, nashashango na pavaga, yalgatvana nivartande, tadhama paramam mamam. Then, that surya, the sun, and the moon, Shashanga, or the Agni, Pavaga. And it is only with their help that we are able to perceive things in this world, isn't it? Sun, moon, and the fire, the light. And otherwise we cannot perceive anything in this world. So, Krishna is saying here, Na dalbha sayade suryo, na shashango, na pavaga, yalgatvana nivartande, tadhama paramam mama. Where does sun, moon and others receive their ability to show us these things? That has also come from this same spirit, soul, super soul, isn't it? Paramatma is giving that vision also is coming from the super soul. Without super soul's presence, this sun, this moon, this stars, none of them will be able to give us that light or give us that vision. What you may have the senses, isn't it? You may have the eyes to see, and you may have the you may have the vision. Your eyes may be in a perfect order, but unless there is a light to see things, how is the eyes going to function? And that vision of the practicality of the seeing process only happens when the light comes from the sun or the moon, and that fire or the light that comes from there is also coming from the same soul. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. It's also coming from Krishna. In other words, it's also coming from the super soul. So that has to be noted down here. That Nadalbhasayade Suryo Nashashango Napavaga Yalgatu Ananivartande Tadhama Paramam Mamam. That without the presence of the super soul, they also cannot function. Who? The sun, the moon. So if you keep super soul away from this whole scenario, nothing can work. You see? Sun may be there, we will be here, but we won't be able to see. Why? Because the super soul is not activating the sun, nor the super soul is activating us here. Only when super soul wants that to happen, the vision works and we are able to perceive the existence of all these things. Otherwise we won't even perceive that. To such an extent, this remote control works of super soul. You see? Yalgatvana nivartande tadhama paramam mama. And that is that place, tad Vishnu paramam padam, Vishnu's abode, that supreme position. That is what it is referring to. That ashash tadhama paramam mama, that supreme abode of Vishnu. Then, the same thing is also you will see in Kathopanishad. You see, the message is the same, but spoken in different ways in the different Upanishad. In Kathopanishad, if you take for example, it says there in Kathopanishad, we talked about Kathopanishad before, isn't it? So there it says, Nanatra suryobhadina chandradaragam avibhudi bhandi kudonyamati tameva mandasvasi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidham vibhadi tasya bhasa sarvamidham vibhadi. It is only because the super soul is there behind it, all this illumination from the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars are happening. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi, it says. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. The sun does not furnish the light there, nor the moon, nor the stars, nor these flashes of lightning born of the clouds. certainly not the light of these sacrificial fires. The spirit shines and all things else shine as a result. Everything in the universe reflects but that light. So that light which comes from the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is happening only because of the presence of the super soul there. So just see the presence of Krishna in the creation. How powerful it is. How powerful it is. And how is that? How does he function? As he mentioned in this verse. Yatha sarvagadam saushmyam akasham opalipyade. Although present in everything, doesn't get stuck with anything. No sticking anywhere. And sarvatra avasthito dehe tadatma nopalipyade. So in the form of super soul also, within us, he does not get stuck sticking to anything. That is the way he functions. Krishna functions. So if we take that as the way to go, then we also will not experience the miseries of the material world, jiva. Jiva's conditions won't bother us. We will also realize that this is how the super soul is functioning. Super soul's activities are like this. So this is one example. Now look at the next example.
Yatha prakasha yattegam krishnam lokam imam ravi kshetram kshetri tadha krishnam prakasha yadi bharata.
Krishna says there that this is the another best example Krishna has taken. Another very good example.
Yatha prakasha yattegam krishnam lokam imam ravi.
The sun, when he functions in this world, how does the sun function? He doesn't look, oh, you can have sunlight, you can't have sunlight, does he? No. He says, every one of you can have it. He gives freely. He comes every morning, does his duty and goes back. That is why, in the fourth chapter, if you remember, for Karma Yogam, Krishna has taken the best example as the sun planet, the sun. Why?
Imam vivasvade yogam.
Because there is no one else who executes Karma Yogam in the best possible way, like the sun. Whether you want it or not, every morning he comes, does his duty and goes away. Never affected by anything what goes on in this world. Isn't it? So that is the beauty of that great Karma Yogi sun. Vaivaswan's role is like that. He comes, he does his part and he goes away. No lipyade, not getting stuck anywhere. Not getting stuck anywhere. We come here in a little space we take here and we get stuck there and go deeply into it and suffer and die and go from here. Isn't it? That is us. And there, sun comes, he comes every, and he has been coming since time immemorial. And he'll continue to come for another, I don't know, billions and billions of years he may come and go like this as long as Krishna wants him to come. So therefore Krishna says, learn from him this example, how he is executing his karma. Similarly, telling us, execute your karma in the same way. Nalipyade. So, Krishna says this beautiful example.
Yatha prakashayatyekam krishnam lokamimam ravi.
How ravi, how one sun, by his energy alone, is able to illuminate the whole universe. Just one sun is able to do this. Illuminate the whole universe. Similarly, this one soul, super soul, one soul, super soul, he, out of his own capacity, and he, in his own way, he activates every material body in this world. Every single material body he activates with, in the same way. Exactly like the way sun is doing with the whole, executes, gives the light to the whole creation. So, just you can see how good the example is, how beautiful it is. That the sun alone comes, he does what he has to do, he goes away. Super soul does exactly the same thing. He does and he activates every living entity, let it carry on. Somebody wants to rob the bank, somebody wants to do something else, everything Krishna allows, go on doing whatever you want to do. And suffer also. And he witnesses and watches this and he enjoys it. Watch all this, what goes on, whatever nonsense what we are doing without ignorance of all these things. So these verses do give us an insight into the function of the body and the soul, isn't it? How the body functions, how the soul functions. Normally, most of us are aware of the importance of the body. We only talk about what happens to the body when we get injured or when we get sick, which doctor, which hospital, which insurance agent, this is what we look about. Never we think about there is another person inside who is controlling the show. Just like we didn't take note of the material nature, Prakriti. Similarly, we don't take notice of the Purusha also. So, through this chapter, Krishna is impressing upon Arjuna, Prakriti and Purusha are two important roles in your life. Don't ignore them. And if you keep reading this chapter all the time, that conviction will become very strong inside. The role of Prakriti and role of Purusha. And that is what ultimately brings us out of the bodily concept of life. So long as this has not gone in, always our mind will be absorbed in the body. That's the nature of the mind. Mind will only accept what it knows. What it doesn't know, it won't think about it, would it? Mind will only think about what it knows. And what it knows is only this body. So when the body goes into trouble, what do? Next thing, we start repairing the body. Run here, run there, and doing things, various things, thinking that that will be the solution to the problem. But when something seriously goes wrong, then repair doesn't work, then only we think if there is something else we can do. But Krishna is saying, no, don't look at it that way. Try to understand, Krishna says, that this work the body is doing, body is nothing but a combination of matter, material elements. And this material elements gets activated only with the presence of the super soul within that body. So super soul has a superior control on everything. Just like the material nature has a control on all the work what we do, similarly, super soul has a control on the way it allows us to function in this world. Allows us to function in this world. That is what it's saying here. That this material body is jadam. Jadam means dead matter, isn't it? And who gives the energy to the material body? The soul is giving. The super soul is giving that. The energy to the... When I say super soul, it is giving the presence of the individual soul who is a part and parcel of Krishna. So the individual soul receives that strength from where? It comes from the super soul. Because it's a part and parcel of Krishna. Only because of that, it is able to activate the body, it's able to activate the mind, it's able to activate the senses, it's able to activate the intelligence. So everything comes into, springs into action. Because of the function, energy that coming from the soul, which we have seen. That is why that we must not forget that the picture of Bhagavad Gita at this time, where Krishna is sitting there in the intelligence, Krishna and the charioteer, the soul is there, which is the passenger of the chariot, Arjuna. And it is Arjuna is the one who is traveling, isn't it? Arjuna is the one who is traveling. And this chariot, which is called the material body, our material body, is only functioning because the passenger is inside. Isn't it? The passenger is inside. The spirit soul is inside. And he, where is he getting the help from? He's getting the help from Krishna. Krishna is helping him to do it. Therefore, he is able to do it. Otherwise, he could do it. Otherwise, what will happen? Chariot will go in different directions. It will topple and finish. The life is over. Get another chariot. Next life starts again. So, that is where, if you don't forget these points, what Krishna has spoken about, immediately you can see Krishna's role within us in our own functioning this body. It is to educate us that not to ignore this aspect of Krishna's presence within us. Yatha prakashayatyegam krishnam lokam imam revi kshetram kshetri tatha krishnam prakashayati bharata. Bharata means one who is relishing this knowledge. One who is Rama means to relishing, to Rama, to enjoy. Bhava means knowledge. One who is enjoying Bharata. So, for the senses, it gets the strength, energy. The knowledge, all the ability to act, everything has come from Krishna. That is all the nature of the soul. Then, the dead matter, which is the material body, has no capacity to do any such thing. Everything is happening only because of the presence of the super soul within us. Then, kshetram kshetrajnayorevam andaram jnana chakshusham. If you look at the Brahma Samhita words also, you will find the same thing. Ya chakshureva samhita sagala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaha yasya jnaya brahmana sampradha kala chakram govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. It's one of the beautiful verses of the Brahma Samhita explaining the role. Ya chakshureva samhita sagala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaha. That the sun planet who is illuminating the whole universe. Sagala grahanam raja samasta suramurti ashesha tejaha. that the tejas or the illumination that it provides to the whole universe is so high. Yasyajnaya brahmana sambhrita kala chakram, by whose instruction he is moving around in this creation, in his own orbit. He is keeping his journey going all the time, isn't it? Under whose instruction? Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. To that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, I pay my respectful obeisances. That is how Brahma Samhita says about that. So you can see that the great sages, recognizing the creation and the role of that Purusha in that creation, they have given us this information in Brahma Samhita and so many other Vedic literature. Kshetra Kshetrajnayo Revam. The same thing, if you look into Kathopanishad also, the same thing will appear again. Kathopanishad also, it will appear again. That the if you look into the Kathopanishad, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has quoted these verses from the he says here that Yatha Prakashedekam Krishnam Lokam Imam Ravi Kshetram Kshetri Tatha Krishnam Prakashayati Bharata Suryo Yatha Sarvalogasya Chakshur Nalipyade Chakshusher Bhakya Doshaihi Yagasada Sarvabhudandara Alma Nalipyade Shogadukhena Bhakyam. Just as the sun is the eye of all people but is not contaminated by the material faults of the eyes, so the Paramatma within all beings is not contaminated by lamentation and suffering of the material world. So the suffering and lamentation is for Jivatma, not for Paramatma. Paramatma doesn't suffer anything. Paramatma just witnesses it. This is from Kathopanishad. And it is again talking about Nalipyade Shogadukhena Bhakyam. So Shogam and Dukham, that lamentation and distress and all that, is only for the Jivatma. Paramatma is not experiencing anything. Why? Because he is not sticking. The once you stick to it, then you will experience the distress or the unhappiness from that. Why Krishna is pointing out these things? Because in the few verses before, Krishna says, what did he say? That Purusha doesn't get involved in anything. Prakriti is doing everything. Krishna is educating us to know, if you know these things, then you won't start sticking to things. When you do not know these things, when you forget these things, then you become sticky. Then you become sticky with things. But once you understand these things, this is how the material nature works in this world, this is how this world goes on, then where is the question of lamentation? When things happen, why? Because of our mind, which is always sticking to work, and akartaram is not there. We think we are the doers because of the false ego inside. Kartrutvam is very strong in there. And bhoktrutvam also is very strong. Why? We want to enjoy the result also. Krishna says, so long as these two things are present, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, and forget that material nature is doing its role and take it upon yourself, then you will start sticking. Once you start sticking, you have to suffer. That is the law. Once you become sticky, then you have to suffer. That's the law. So the only way to escape from this is not to get stuck, not to feel sticky in that way. Therefore, Bhagavatam is teaching us so many things, how to develop that, how to break that glue. That is called vairagyam, isn't it? How to break the glue. Kshetra kshetrajnayoram evam andaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti mokshanja evidurhyandite param. Evam kshetra kshetrajnayoram andaram, if you understand this difference between, this is the last verse in that chapter. Evam kshetra kshetrajnayorandaram, if you understand this difference between kshetram and kshetrajnya, not enough theoretically, but in its role, practically how it works. If that is understood, that's what Krishna is saying. Evam kshetra kshetrajnayorandaram, if you understand the difference between how kshetrajnyan functions and the in the kshetram, how kshetrajnyan, the super soul functions, and if you understand that, Krishna says, bhuta prakriti andaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti mokshanja jnana chakshusha ye vidu bhuta prakriti moksham bhuta prakriti mokshanja jnana chakshusha ye vidu. In other words, Krishna is saying here that material nature and the material nature, one can get liberated from that material nature, te param yandi, he can escape from the material nature he will be released from the material nature if he understands this difference between Kshetram and Kshetrajnan in this way. And how we will understand? What does Krishna use as the word there? Jnana Chakshusha, with the eye of knowledge. With the eye of knowledge. So when the knowledge is cultivated properly, when these verses in the Bhagavad Gita is properly subjected to reflection, contemplation, and deeply absorbed in the thoughts of this and accepted, mind accepts that, then in that situation what will happen is, Buddha Prakriti Mokshanja Vidiri Antide Param. Te Buddha Prakriti Mokshanja Jnana Chakshusha Ye Vidu Te Param Yandi. With the science of the Jnana, with the Jnana Chakshus, when he understands this, he says, Buddha Prakriti Mokshanja. Buddham, living entity, will be released from the Prakriti. He is, will be liberated from the Prakriti. Te Param Yandi. Then he will go back to the spiritual world. Go back to the spiritual world. So, the result of this will be that when one develops Jnana Chakshusa. Jnana Chakshusa means the eye of knowledge. What will happen is, with the Jnana Chakshus, the jiva will be able to recognize that its bondage. Its bondage. And what is knowledge and what is ignorance. All these things will be known to it. And the result of that, he will be able to see his identity as the soul, and will be able to get liberated from this conditioned existence. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga Nama Trayodasho Adhyaya. So that is the end of the 13th chapter. That's the end of 13th chapter. So far, Bhagavad Gita has got 700 verses, isn't it? 700 verses. Out of these 700 verses, with the 13th chapter, we have so far discussed 524 verses. 524 verses are over. With the discussion of this chapter, Krishna has finished what he has to say to us. He has finished one of the most important messages in the Bhagavad Gita. He has completed that in this 13th chapter. Then you may ask, what is the next 5 chapters after this? The remaining 5 chapters is, basically what it is that the message what Krishna has given in this one chapter, although the message has been given to us, it has not hit us yet, is it? If 1% it has hit us, it's good. You should say the success rate is very good. If 1% of what Krishna has spoken in this chapter, if it has gone in, 1% of it, you should say you've done very well. Yeah? Because I know how it is. The moment we leave the room, what will happen? Isn't it? What happens to us? We know it. What happens? What? It will be the same dog's tail. Isn't it? Back to everything to the normal, as we said. Back to normal. All this, it stays there, and we'll continue with our business. What's the point in studying like that? Is there any benefit in doing this, going through Bhagavad Gita? All you can say is suspend 2 hours. And then, like some people come to hear Bhagavatam, for one reason only. I don't understand anything what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. At least let my sinful reactions go by hearing this. In that mood, don't hear Bhagavad Gita, please. There is no use hearing Bhagavad Gita that way. Whatever we have understood, whatever Krishna has spoken, this knowledge should work with us. That is more important. Otherwise, this is such a valuable instructions of Krishna, so deeply affecting our life in this world, not only this life, even life after life, and such an important message, how can we ignore it? And that's why this 13th chapter is particularly important, because the knowledge in this chapter is very penetrating inside. And those who are seeking for spiritual life, for them it is a gold mine. This 13th chapter is a gold mine. There is so much to know. But Krishna knows very well. Krishna knows us better than what we know about us, isn't it? He knows us more than what we know about ourselves. So knowing very well, what Krishna did was, in this one chapter, the Siddhantam, the principle, he explained in detail. And from now on, what Krishna is doing is, he's telling us what has to be done to reach there. You see? That is why immediately after this you will find the 3 modes of material nature is discussed. For this reason only. Because 13th chapter, if you have understood, You may think, why am I not experiencing any of these things? That will be the first thing what anybody will ask, isn't it? So, the obstacle in realizing this, what is the obstacle? That's what one thing Krishna points out. And that topic is discussed in 3-4 different chapters, in 3-4 different ways. This is the way Vedic knowledge is disseminated always. They won't tell you one thing and keep repeating. No. From different angles it will be discussed. The same subject will be discussed from different angles. For example, here Krishna talks about three modes of material nature. Through three modes of material nature, Krishna will open up our eyes and show it to us how the modes of nature is blocking you, your progress in spiritual life. And then, through divisions of faith in another chapter, which comes much later, again he will show it to us that how our faith is not properly presented, situated, which is blocking your progress in spiritual path. And then another chapter, through divine and demoniac nature, Krishna will also tell us how that is causing a progress on your spiritual life, our demoniac nature in us. So, in order that this theory, this what Krishna has spoken here in this last chapter, to make us conscious of the problems in realizing it, and how to break that different obstacles that we are experiencing, in three different chapters from now on, Krishna will bring out this in much more detail, which we will discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.